From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The online retail giant Amazon made a surprise announcement earlier this week that it was raising its employee minimum wage to $15 an hour. As per CNN, the change takes effect November 1st and applies to full-time, part-time, and temporary workers. Amazon says the $15 minimum wage will benefit more than 250,000 Amazon employees, plus 100,000 seasonal workers. The company's CEO and founder, Jeff Bezos, who is the world's richest man and who has been the target of fierce criticism for underpaying his employees, said, quote, "We listened to our critics, thought hard about what we wanted to do, and decided we want to lead. We're excited about this change and encourage our competitors and other large employers to join us." But in the city of Seattle, Washington, the company hasn't been so generous in its efforts to help workers or the residents of the city where it's headquartered. My guest is Shama Sawant, Seattle City Council member. She was the first socialist council member to be elected to the city council in that city, affiliated with the Socialist Alternative Party. She's been one of the leaders on the ground in Seattle pushing to tax Amazon. Welcome to the program, Shama.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So the last time we had talked, Amazon had temporarily lost its bid against a so-called head tax that you and others had pushed for at the city. And then the city council reversed its vote and Amazon declared victory. I want to get to that later, but let's discuss what has just happened. Were you surprised by this announcement of a $15 an hour wage?
Not exactly, in the sense that we know that due to the Amazon warehouse workers themselves starting to get organized and exposing the horrendous and exploitative conditions in the Amazon workplaces and the incredible movement in Seattle to tax big businesses like Amazon, through all of that movement building, it was very clear that Amazon was starting to be exposed and Jeff Bezos was starting to be exposed, you know, as the richest guy in the world who was a brutal exploiter of workers and who is still an exploiter of workers, and as a corporation that fought tooth and nail and used open bullying tactics against an entire city that is fighting for working class affordability, you know, so that working class people can be afford to live here in this city, because the tax was meant to fund the building of publicly owned affordable housing. So we believe that it is entirely due to the strength of movements that Amazon has been forced to, you know, at least to do something to mitigate its accurate image as an exploiter and as a bully. And we should also mention the traction that Senator Bernie Sanders got for his Stop Bezos Act, a bill, if it went through, would ensure that corporations like Walmart and Amazon, which deliberately, you know, brutally underpay their workers, that, you know, those workers end up having to rely on public assistance that is ultimately funded by other taxpayers who are already who are also struggling to get by.
Right.
So the pressure that was built by the Stop Bezos Act was also part of that. So really, the bottom line is it was not due to some sort of secret kindness in Jeff Bezos' heart. It was because movements forced it.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of reporting and journalism exposing what Amazon had essentially forced its workers to do. There was one remarkable piece I remember about how Amazon workers and warehouses were being forced to urinate in bottles because they didn't have time to take bathroom breaks. And the pressure that Bernie Sanders put was critical. He held these town hall meetings, bringing in Amazon workers. Then there was also news of Amazon essentially bribing its employees to tweet good things about working for the company. And I mean, this is how protest is supposed to work, right? You essentially get first pushed aside, they respond angrily, then they deny that there's any problem, and eventually they do cave in and seek credit for doing the right thing. But if we want to really give credit where credit is due, it's the grassroots movements from all angles that push companies like Amazon. What impact will this $15 an hour wage have? And I suppose we should also give credit to the Fight for 15 movement, which has brought this in. What impact could it have on these hundreds of thousands of workers now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sonali. The credit is also due to the 15 Now grassroots movement that we started in Seattle, which was comprised of ordinary people, workers themselves, who were under the poverty line and benefited from $15 an hour, but also from left-wing labor unions, community organizations, all of whom came together under the 15 Now banner. And we won the historic $15 an hour in Seattle, which was the first major city to do it. And then Minneapolis, LA, Washington, D.C., many cities have won it. And I'm sure you remember in the Democratic primaries in 2016, Bernie Sanders made this a question, you know, federal $15 minimum wage. So I think, first of all, the direct impact of the Amazon $15 an hour will, as you said, immediately materially improve the living standards of the workers who work at Amazon, both the permanent workers and the temporary workers that will be hired in the holiday season. So that is an incredible thing. And in itself, as a socialist, I would say in itself, that is worth fighting for if we can improve the lives of ordinary people on a day-to-day basis. However, that will not be the only impact. The other impact is, and this is a bigger impact, it's the shot in the arm of the feeling of empowerment that working people's movements can feel, not only throughout the nation, but throughout the world. You know, if you can force one of the largest corporations in the world and the richest guy in the world to give this concession under the pressure of movements that are refusing to relent, well, that indicates not only that we should celebrate this victory, but that we can use this to fuel further victories. Let's go on building movements to win $15 an hour in every city in the United States and for a federal $15 an hour minimum wage. Let's carry on the fight to unionize Amazon workers, because it is not enough to win $15 an hour. It is important to build power in the workplace, and that can be done only by building democratically organized unions. And Amazon is one of those corporations which I'm sure engages in underhanded union busting tactics, but it is not the only corporation. So this will be a real message to workers in Amazon themselves to unionize. But I would say the potential to build on this is much greater than that. We should also see this as a message of empowerment for all workers in the logistics sector as a whole, where many low-wage workers are concentrated. Let's fight to unionize.
In addition to raising its workers' minimum wage, Amazon has said something really important, which is that it wants to now use its size and power, influence, to lobby other corporations to do the same thing, which is quite interesting. So the first grassroots activists pushed Amazon. Why Amazon? Because of course it has now eclipsed Walmart. It used to be Walmart was our target. And now the bigger that Amazon gets, the bigger target it becomes. And it's interesting to see that Amazon will be at least saying on the surface that it wants to push other corporations to do the same. But I think you brought up such a critical point about unionizing, because people have been asking for $15 an hour for years now. Very soon, if not already, we will have passed 15 as a living wage. It really ought to be closer to 20, and a few years later, 25. Unions can give the power to workers to bargain collectively for those higher wages to keep up with rising costs, right?
You're exactly right. And in fact, to add to your point, just a number that I think helps put things in context is, while this is a huge victory for movements, to put the $15 number in further context, let's keep in mind that Jeff Bezos makes in 10 seconds what it takes the median Amazon worker to make in a year. So we are talking about just an unimaginable inequality under capitalism. And it is not even a question of good apples versus bad apples. This is what corporations and the billionaire class does under capitalism, because capitalism is a system set up to maximize profits and wealth for the people at the very top at the expense of the rest of us. So you're totally right that it is not enough just to fight for 15. It has to be build power in the workplace. And in fact, I can tell you, I'm sitting here in Seattle. In the Seattle and the surrounding areas, already $15 an hour is not a living wage. So we are very sober about that reality. And it's our obligation on the left to constantly remind everybody around ourselves and build strong movements on the left, precisely because we know this is only a small measure of justice. And the reason we find it important to give credit where credit's due and not celebrate some sort of mythical largesse of Jeff Bezos is because we need movements, our future movements, young people to understand that you don't correct the inequality under capitalism, let alone fight for a different kind of system by expecting that the billionaire class will do the right thing. No, it is not a coincidence why Jeff Bezos has done this now as opposed to some years ago, because as you said, Sonali, workers have been demanding 15 for ages, and it happened now in Amazon because Amazon has a bloodied image and it's trying to mitigate it and trying to look like it's doing the right thing. So it's important that we understand that it is not enough to just stop here. One other point I will add in terms of why it is necessary to unionize. Look, we are in an era where the Me Too struggle has empowered countless women, not just in the US, but around the world, to come out so bravely to talk about the trauma that they have faced through sexual violence, rape, workplace sexual harassment. And it's really not easy to do what Christine Blasey Ford and many others have done to bring out the realities about Brett Kavanaugh. Today, you know, it's October 4th on Thursday. This afternoon, I will be joining a protest to cancel Kavanaugh's appointment. And the reason I'm talking about this is that we're not just talking about workers struggling for against low wages. We're talking about fighting against workplace harassment of every kind, whether it's based on race or gender or ethnicity. We need
and didn't McDonald's workers recently have multiple walkouts in cities around the country against sexual harassment from their employers? So that
exactly.
Me Too movement sort of spreading to, I shouldn't say spreading to, in many ways it sort of originated from working class women, domestic workers, etc.
Exactly. I'm really glad you mentioned the McDonald's workers. That is, in fact, I heard that is the first strike action ever that was taken on the issue of sexual harassment. So the McDonald's workers action is critically important in what's going to happen next.
Let's turn to what has transpired in Seattle over this past year and the fight that you've been involved with, and whether the recent actions by Amazon to raise wages to $15 an hour for its workers will have any impact on the fight in Seattle. So the so-called head tax, which was basically a minuscule drop in the bucket that Amazon was being asked to pay per employee in Seattle in order to alleviate the pressure on the housing market. So Amazon fought that tooth and nail and managed to reverse a city council vote. Do you think that the 15 an hour move may pave the way for Amazon doing the right thing in Seattle?
I think this is a very important question you're asking, Sonali, the connection between Amazon's announcement of 15 and what happened in Seattle and what could happen next. Just to add a little bit of context to what you just said, you know, we had a movement fighting for the tax, and you know, we called it the Amazon tax because we wanted to be clear that this was a tax on the top 3% of the businesses in Seattle. So we're talking about the most profitable and wealthiest of businesses in Seattle, like Amazon, Macy's, Nordstrom, Facebook, and so on. We're not talking about small businesses in any way. And as you said, it was a very, very modest tax. It was like pocket change for Jeff Bezos. And the city council voted for it unanimously, reluctantly. Most of them are corporate politicians. And then less than a month later, 7 of the 9 council members voted to repeal it. I was one of the 2 council members who voted against the repeal. And I would say that the most important thing to mention here is the lessons that we can learn. I mean, how stunningly wrong were those 7 council members to capitulate at the first sign of the bullying by Amazon? You know, because they said, we want to do the right thing. These politicians said, we want to do the right thing, but, you know, look, the Amazon is really fighting back and we think this is the best thing. No, it wasn't. It was completely wrong. It was erroneous analysis, even on the part of the most well-meaning of those politicians, that when you have a bully, whether it is sexual harassment or corporate bullying by a massive corporation against regular people struggling against inequality, the response to that bullying should not be to cower and step back and say, admit defeat. The response should be to continue fighting back. And the fact that Amazon was forced to raise its workers' wages to 15 proves those council members stunningly wrong. Because look at the amazing victory we have achieved. What could have happened if the council members had not voted to repeal and we had engaged in, as I was calling for, engaged in a summer and fall door-knocking campaign winning over tens of thousands of voters in Seattle to defeat the referendum from Amazon and other big businesses. That was the potential that was lost. And so I really want to share this lesson far and wide with social movements everywhere. You know, let's remember, the way to fight the race to the bottom is not to accept the bullying and the threats by big business. The way to do it is to fight back by building power from below.
So do you think now that the push that Amazon is feeling from grassroots activists needs to continue? Because, of course, from Bezos's perspective, he is hoping that the Stop Bezos Act that Bernie Sanders introduced in the federal government will be pulled, or will just have its the wind taken out of it. This is, of course, Amazon's way of undermining the pressure on it, which is why pressure works. And of course, it seems like that they would expect activists to pull away, but that might be the wrong thing to do.
I think that's incredibly, incredibly important that you brought up. I mean, it is exactly right. The pressure works, but if movements are not clear about next steps, it can be a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's a huge victory, but on the other hand, it could, if we get complacent, undermine our efforts to really, address the massive inequality in our society. And I have no doubt that you're completely correct that this is what Amazon wants. Amazon wants to at least take the wind out of the sails of the Stop Bezos Act. I also have no doubt, frankly, that the Democratic establishment, even the left-leaning Democratic Party politicians in Congress, will actually respond by saying, "Oh, great, Bezos is so great. Now we don't need to pass this act," which is precisely why ordinary people need to stay engaged. You cannot depend on just a Bernie Sanders, to make this happen. We need to keep organizing. That is why I'm really encouraged that three cities in California have ballot initiatives this year to tax big business and big tech to provide funding for infrastructure and housing, but that will not be enough anyway. We have to keep fighting. And I would also add one other point, which is that movements are interconnected, meaning right now, if the vast majority of women and workers, like the McDonald's workers, are willing to come out on the streets in their workplaces fighting against Kavanaugh's appointment, then that is what we should be, putting all our efforts into, because any success on any front against inequality and oppression will help us build that momentum for on other fronts as well. And we need to keep fighting.
And we didn't mention this, but Amazon, of course, owns Whole Foods. They bought out that corporation, and workers there have been attempting to unionize. They might have already been making $15 an hour. It's not clear. I'm sure there's a variety of pay scales at Whole Foods. And it's not clear, at least to me, whether the $15 an hour applies to Whole Foods. But certainly the effort to unionize is one that Whole Foods workers have been trying to engage in. And I wonder if Amazon workers and Whole Foods workers might find some common cause in pushing their common employer to accept unionization and that this isn't the end of the fight. Just 15 an hour is just the beginning.
Right. You're right. I mean, Whole Foods has been well known for and infamous for its union busting tactics. And I have no doubt that if workers let it, that status quo will continue, maybe even more dramatically under Amazon and Jeff Bezos. And I agree with you on the question of common cause. I think Whole Foods workers, the grocery store workers, the Amazon warehouse workers, and the Amazon tech workers, all of those workers have a common cause to unite and build strong efforts to unionize. It will not be easy. They will come under massive attacks from the corporation, from their bosses, from the managerial layer. There will be all kinds of demonizing of unions. That will happen inevitably, and we will have to fight against it. That is why the workers, when they are fighting to unionize, need support from the outside as well. So I would say the common cause not only goes runs as a common thread across Amazon workers, it runs as a common thread across all workers, whether or not at this moment, if you're watching this, you don't have a union, you still, we should all be fighting together, unionized and non-unionized, because all unions under attack and all workers' living standards and workplace rights have been under attack for the last 5 decades. So we need to really unite. And one thing I would mention in this context is how important it is for all of us to be in solidarity with the Marriott hotel workers, unionized with Unite Here, who have started to go on strike. I mean, this is an incredibly courageous and historic thing that is happening within, you know, multiple cities, everywhere from Boston to Maui, hotel workers of Marriott going on strike in a coordinated fashion. This is historic. So at this moment, it is very important that we all join the hotel workers on the picket lines. If there's a Marriott strike in your city, you should be at the picket line standing with the workers. And I know in San Francisco, 2,500 workers are currently on strike, hotel workers. So this is incredible. If the hotel workers win success on this, I have no doubt that it will feed into, it will get channeled into unionizing efforts at Amazon and other corporations.
Wow. Here in Los Angeles, I know we're readying for a potential teacher strike as well. Shama Sawant, thank you so much for joining us today. And as always, thanks for all the good work that you're doing there in Seattle.
Thank you. And likewise, thank you for your work.
Shama Sawant is a Seattle City Council member. She was the first Socialist Council member to be elected to that body. She's affiliated with the Socialist Alternative Party. We've been discussing Amazon's announced wage increase and what it means. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at RU with Sonali.